And grabbing and seize the moment. My time is now. My flow was golden. My name was chosen by a couple that we love to this day. They taught me everything I know. That's why I'm built this way. To put my face in a position, take flight with grace. I learned from living and making mistakes. Forsaking my place has made the relay. Whatever the stakes, it's how I'm at you. Cop for $10. It's more than a case. It's more than a taste of my soul and of my life and of my past. Focus on the future to make time last, to make you all want it and make the world want it. It's like crack cause you can't sleep on it. Sleep on it. Sit work, ay. Sit work, ay. Sit work, ay. Sit work. Come on, y'all. It's here, y'all. All area crews, y'all know it's good. Las Vegas. Sit work, ay. Las Vegas. Come on, y'all. Campfire music, y'all. What's up, Cynical? I see you, boy. Y'all know what it is. Sis birth, here, y'all. Ha, you know what it is. Come on, get ready. Sis birth, come on. Sis birth. I feel good, y'all. It's been a long time coming, but I'm here.
You never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade.
Well, hello everybody. Phil Kitty Sir today. This is Andrew Fetter, and it's time for When Pigs Fly, coming to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah, it's been a crazy, fun week, and looking forward to some more. By the way, that was Since Birth by Samson, and you can check his stuff at campfiremusic.com. He's a local hip-hop artist, up and coming. Anyway, I've got a lot of things that are happening, and just before I get into the subject of today, apathy, like I really care. That's, you know, apathy, I don't care. Coming up, I got a really special show coming up in 2 weeks from today. That's, of course, prior to Valentine's Day. I had a guest on way back when. She is an astrologist, an intuitive tarot reader, Carrie Feza. And she's coming back on my show, which is going to be interesting, because she's going to do a special show for me. She's going to expand upon the sexuality within the astrology chart, so everybody will know their sexual idiosyncrasies, the little things about people and their characteristics in the as an astrology chart, which should be sort of fun and humorous and, of course, enlightening as well. And next month, in March, I'm hoping to have back on for part two, and you guys all, everybody has to listen to this stuff. It should be pretty interesting. I'm going to have Ricky back on. He was the abductee. He was abducted by extraterrestrials, and, you know, if you go back any of my archives, you can check and re-listen to those his interview. If you have questions, I'm going to have people call in if they would like, or if they want, they can always send emails or direct messages or whatnot. Because I mean, I'm going to re-listen to it as well, and then because there's a lot of questions I had in that information. And also, of course, I want to thank all my listeners and everybody, the future listeners, and of course, BBS Radio for my show. Apathy. The reason I bring up Bathurst City, of course, is because, well, for me anyway, tomorrow is a Nevada caucus and deals with politics. And a lot of people like to refrain from, you know, talking about politics, you know, or other things. And they have this situation where they feel powerless. Oh, well, what can I do? I don't want to get involved. Apathy. You know, and it's really quite prevalent in the United States. I don't want to get involved. What can I do? They have it, the system down. My vote doesn't count. My voice, who am I? Or you even hear the apathy of people who are intellectually, who are maybe even spiritual. I'm apolitical. I don't want to get involved. Which is sort of ironic because spirituality and politics go together. People don't like to see it like that, but they always try to separate that. I remember going, I was going to do a lecture class, and as soon as they knew that part of it had to deal with some of the politics, and it was for dealing with spirituality, the owner of the facility, she goes, who Rena had like the, I guess like a spiritual store or whatever, she goes, oh, we can't have talk about politics in this. It's only about spiritual stuff. We can only talk about chakras and things like that. I go, oh, really? Wow. How interesting. You can't talk about people's self-esteem, huh? Oh, and facing up and standing up to what they believe in. Gee, that's sort of contrary. Because it all deals together. Politics is spirituality. I'm telling you. If you don't believe it, it is. It affects you every, whether you want to believe, you can live in your little bubble and not believe it, but it is. But then even for the mainstream, a lot of people who, like I said, women, who have that feeling like the they have no worth, that they can't do anything about it, or they don't want to get involved, or what's my vote worth? That's what the man, you never heard the man wants you to think, you know. When I refer to the man, that's a little slang for those outside the United States, talking about the top one percenters who have political power and economic control. Because they like it like that. In fact, it's interesting why they utilize, in the United States particularly, methods to suppress votes. Methods to suppress voice, methods to suppress any person, individual, or populace to voice their opinion or voice their response to a situation. No matter how discerning, how much thing you don't like about it, you know, it's placed like that. They tried to do that. I mean, you look at the, you know, even talk about the Republican method of trying to suppress a situation, you know, suppress the votes, because they know if it's a lower turnout, let's say, since if there's more Democrats, then obviously Republicans have more control. But it's a way. They try to suppress and make people feel less. And I've talked about this in past shows. It all comes down to self-worth. And that's what the method is. They try to diminish people's self-worth and make them feel low, make them feel like nothing. They want you to feel, like you can't do anything, you're powerless. Your vote don't matter. They want you to feel ignorant about even if you do go vote. They'll throw you facades of information that's not really true. Bits and pieces that's not really true. To make you feel even more powerless. They may even use fear as a methodology to make you feel powerless. You know, that is the method to make you feel like, what can I do? I don't care. You know, it's a fascinating, interesting thing that the United States, which is not the richest country anymore, and not even by income, I've heard just even the British have already passed up the United States as far as average income. has a functional illiterate society of almost 50%, meaning at least 50% of the country doesn't even read. And you got to think about what the whole facade, what everybody tries, you know, the whole game of why, what the liberals' power, the B, try to do, to make you feel apathetic. Like I say, apathy is a disease of soul, which is basically the symptom of diminishing your self-worthiness, your self-esteem, your self-love. So if you look at it, like, what their methods are and what they do, they'll, you know, they'll tell you if you're, you know, hey, just worry about your bling. Go play that video game. Get that Wii. Go smoke that bong. Drink that beer. Go party. And that way keeps you occupied. And not really, you know, it's okay to, you know, have, I said, entertain yourself and have fun and see stuff, you know, in movies and, you know, whatever. But they try to do it so it's when you finish your work, you're at the entertainment mode. 90 to 100% of it. If you even have that. Even have that time. Because you might be so busy taking care of your kids and raising your kids, you don't even have time to do that. Because it used to be, one household could support a family, now it's two. And now that two could barely, hold a household. So it's a game. It's to keep you occupied, to keep you not thinking, to keep you diminished, to keep you out of the political game, which is the power. And by the way, economics it's not just about, you know, having, you know, more Mercedes or more Ferraris or more Lamborghinis. When you make over X amount of dollars, millions and millions of dollars, after a certain threshold where you have all the houses you want, it actually becomes power. It has nothing to do with economics. It's having that power to push and manipulate things for your own egotistical benevolence. Use the wrong word. But that's the whole thing, to diminish your capacity. So if you think, I'm not worth it, what can I do? Or I don't want to get involved. Or what can I, you know, what am I going to do about the whole thing? They will, you know, they like that. But if everyone gets out there, goes out and votes, goes out and writes, goes out and speaks, does things somewhere to create a political change. And I've heard other people go, well, I don't want to get involved with politics. I've always heard that line. That's real. The most ignorant line I've ever heard in my entire life is, oh, I don't like to get involved with politics. And if I hear, like, somebody who says that, who says they're spiritual and says, I don't like to get involved with politics, they're about as spiritual as zero. Because politics is spirituality. Because if you don't get involved with politics, you're not engaging the very systems of your own beliefs that you're a hypocrite. You're an Elmer Gundry. Because if you don't engage into the political realm and you call yourself a spiritual, or you're something spiritual, then you're not engaging the very matter of what your self-worthiness is. You're putting this facade of a bubble, living in the little kumbaya that is a non-reality. The reality is, it's not kumbaya. That's not spiritual. The kumbaya is not spiritual. To be engaged in political is the spiritual. To engage in yourself worthy is the spiritual. To voice your opinion and let yourself be known. To gauge, to learn, and to facilitate knowledge and wisdom about your surrounding, about the political affairs within your environment is spiritual. You pick up that newspaper, go on the internet to investigate a situation about politics, to investigate the candidates, that is spiritual. It is standing up for yourself and your self-worthiness. It's being who you are. You got to listen and not be. I mean, there's a famous thing that was what I remember from the famous movie, and there's also a book, All the King's Men. And he says, well, we're all a bunch of hicks, because that's what they think we are. We're a bunch of dumb hicks. And if you don't vote, they think you ain't worth it. You know, that's what they want to think. Because if you don't vote, you don't matter. So it is a spiritual thing to say that, what is politics? Politics is spirituality. And that includes with whether you're getting involved with the situations, with whether it's the environment, whether it's Greenpeace or whatnot, global warming. But it is very in-depth with, like I said, with spirituality. And like I said, how can you not say you don't want, is nothing to do with yourself, or you don't want to get involved with politics, and you have, by saying that means, and you don't think it affects you, even on the spiritual, let's go on the more materialistical value of it. Those people who go into become your president, those senators, those congressmen, those councilmen, those mayors, those governors, those whatever area of facilitating they get fall into, whatever part of the government or overseas, prime ministers or commons or whatever, parliamentary systems, those people manipulate and vote and delegate their strategic political votes for certain economics that affect you directly, whether it's whether you have health care, whether it's universal health care, whether you have the economics within your own environment, such as inflation, your energy, how much you pay the bill for your gas, your heating. I mean, I can go on and on. Everything that you think, your clothes, your housing, every single thing that you around your environment that on a material basis alone is affected by your politics. So to not engage in politics, again, is a pretty much personally, I feel it's asinine, because it's you are just giving up your self worthiness, allowing them to dictate to yourself. They're going to dictate to you like you're nothing but a little, you know, nothing, because that's how they want you to feel. And if you feel that, that means you've given up, and you can't never give up. I remember somebody, this happened to me personally, and you know, I'm going to get into some of my personal stuff, but sometimes, you know, one person that, in front of a judge, actually, they go, well, I told them, you can take away my car, you can take away all my material stuff, you can even throw me in jail, but the one thing you'll never have control over is my soul, and therefore I'm free. I mean, it almost comes out of, well, you know, the famous thing that Thoreau had said to Emerson, I'm more freer behind jail than you are outside jail, because my soul is free. And what the whole point was that he stood up to for his beliefs. He believed in what he is. You know, and that's the very point. You have to have self-worthiness. You have to believe and not be apathetic, not give up. Because if you go with the attitude, I don't care what I'm going to do, that's what they want. That's what the man wants you to believe. He wants you to just, you know. They also like to separate. It's a way of utilizing apathy, too. Make them feel you don't have control. They will try to diminish you by whether it's your race, your color, your creed, your religion. They'll even make you divide each other. They don't look at it as a humanity. They'd rather you separate and start, you know, well, God, I'm black. I'm going to worry about voting up for the black man. I'm the white person. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. Or, you know, I'm Hispanic. I'm Jewish. I'm Mormon. I'm Catholic. They love that when you're sitting there dividing yourself, because it makes the plan. It allows the control. So don't feel apathetic. I mean, don't give in. You know, like I said, I have a caucus I'm going to tomorrow. I highly recommend everybody, every single American to vote. I don't even think to vote is not a privilege. It's your responsibility. It's your obligation, not only as an American, but as a human being, as a father, as a mother, as a sister, brother, son, daughter, grandmother, granddaughter, grandfather, grandmother, to those who are in your immediate family, to your friends, your neighbors, and finally, most important, yourself. I mean, people need to voice their opinion. What's really engaging is people, you know, it's sort of, to me, surprising when I see 60% of people go and vote. 60%. What do the other 40% do? They don't like the candidates? Fine. Then pick out the one that's the most closest to you. I mean, there is our goal and engage and try to develop other candidates. And the people say, well, what can I do? You know, it's a plutocracy. It's controlled by the economics. What can I do? Yeah, that's sort of true. But if you don't engage, that might be true if you don't vote. But besides voting, which I still think you should do, it's like I said, obligation, you should engage with friends of yours, your neighbors, your family, in every way you can, even organize, even have protest demonstrations, to change that system. To change the system where we have a plutocracy where it's basically the rich running the system. Because that can be changed. It's a facade for them to place upon us to make us feel apathetic that we can't change it. But we can change it. And history has shown the many, whether it's revolutions or evolutions, that should change a political situation. The problem is we haven't changed enough. We move 5 steps up, and then we keep on going 3 steps backwards. But we are now people becoming more and more aware of their own spiritual integrity. And by meaning their spiritual integrity meets to their self-worthiness, their self-esteem, what they believe in, and stand up. And people make things complicated, and then they do it for a purpose. That's another issue. They want to make it complicated. Some people make religion complicated. They'll make it 40 books, 400 interpretations. That way they can tell you the interpretation of the interpretation, to explain to you what that really means in that spiritual book, whether it's the Bible, the Torah, the Bhagavad Gita, or the Koran. Everybody got their damn interpretations. And then they make spirituality so complex. I personally, if you've listened to any of my shows, I make it's very simple, because it is. People will sit there and write 400 books, make out 4,000 speeches, lectures. They'll make things more complicated than they really are, because then they can make money off of it. But that's not the real. I'm getting off tangent, but it has to apply. Everything is affected by everything, politically, with apathy, if you don't care. But people need to stand up for what they believe in. You need to stand up. So when you have the opportunity to vote, to elect, and I don't care whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, an Independent, or Greenpeace, or, you know, not Greenpeace, I'm sorry, Green Party, or Independent, whatever, you are obligated to vote. And as American, it is the American thing to do, to vote. So if you don't vote and you don't engage, not only it's anti-patriotic. That's the patriotic thing, is to vote. And I know people again will say, well, who am I going to vote for? I don't like any of them. Then vote that way. you know? And if you need to get involved with politics, and make a change. Because as more people get involved, I remember back in the late 60s and early 70s when people actually stood up and it changed. Seems like, I remember I went overseas in 1980 and people were very involved with political change and political systems during from the late 60s to all the way through the 70s. And why? We lost to Kennedy, two of them, without Martin Luther King. I mean, there's a lot of great people that we end up losing during the 60s, and was that the impetus to make change? And people standing up? I mean, I remember the demonstrations, the protests over the wars. I remember the protests and the demonstrations over, you know, having any nuclear facilities. I remember the demonstrations for women's rights. I remember the demonstrations for, labor rights with farm workers. People did stand up. People did have voiced their opinions back there. What changed? What happened to the United States? What changed? Well, I think culturally it changed from all the hippies became yuppies and worrying about their material things. And then after that became the apathy card. And that became the general presence. Apathy. What the disengage from politics. And therefore allowed the system to dictate to you rather than you dictate to the system. And then what does that fundamentally affect? Your self-esteem. Your self-worth. And it's a cycle. The more they're able to subjugate to you by knocking you down, allowing them more in power, means that diminishes your own self-worthiness, your own self-worth. But that's a facade, again. Because your self can change that facade. You, yourself, can change that self-worthiness. You, yourself, can change your self-esteem by not being apathetic. Not being apolitical. Again, apolitical equals non-spiritual, non-worthiness, non-self-love. Apolitical. Because if you are political, that means you are standing up for yourself. That means you have self-esteem. That means you have self-worth. So I ask every single soul on this planet to stand up to the man. Stand up to the politicians. Stand up and voice your opinion. Whether it's the United States or Mexico or Nicaragua or Pakistan or Israel or Palestine or Jordan or China or Japan. Korea. People need to stand up and say, hell no, we ain't going to take it no more. Because people need to stand up. It's not like a cause for a communist revolution or a manifesto or that BS. It's just a standard of self-worthiness, a standard of self-esteem. Because that will reciprocate. If we rise up and people have self-worthiness across the board, our universe would change. There would not be the economic situation that we do have. There is enough food to feed the entire world and twice over. People should not be starving. People should not be going without clothes. People should not have to worry about their health. We have the ability to facilitate so everybody has health care. Not at a great cost, but a true standard. We have that ability. We have the ability, for example, for right now, to not utilize petroleum as a method for fueling our cars. We have the methodology to use other means which are non-pollutant and actually don't even affect the environment and that don't cost economically. They have that technology. They can't give it to you because if you had a car that ran off of, you know, basically electric, or I don't want to get into the quantum physics, but can utilize quantum physics as far as running your car, you need to stick to your nozzle and throw in your cash to go buy some gas or electricity. It's out there in the universe. They don't want that. They need somewhere, so you have to functionally buy something. Because if you didn't have to buy it, they're out the door. There's no market for them. It's like the cure of all cures. It's like if you got rid of all the crime, you wouldn't need the police. If there were no wars, you wouldn't need soldiers, you wouldn't need to make weapons. And think about that. It's all about politics. All this stuff I'm talking about is political. So to say you're apolitical, or I don't care, or I can't get involved, or what can I do? That's what they want. That's what they want. It's the game. If I look at a chessboard, I'm looking down. Do you want to continue to be the pawn? You may think you're the queen or the king, but there's a guy up there, there's another guy or girl, whatever, up there, who's the real facilitator, is moving around the pieces. Do you want to be just that little piece? They functionally move you around. It's your choice. You can kick over the table and say, "Hell no, I'm not going to take it anymore." Stand up and voice your opinion. Stand up. Become educated and educate yourself. You don't have to be finished college and go to high school. You can read on your own. You develop yourself. You will functionally develop your self-esteem by doing so. That's one methodology people always say, how do you develop your self-worthiness? One way is, there you go. Develop by knowing what's going around your environment. Politically, economically, environmentally. Go on the internet, read books, watch the news, listen to what they're saying, and then make up your own opinion. You will notice nowadays that what you watch on news is not real news. They'll give you information, and then they comment on the information they just gave you. So what they're doing is commentary, what's called commentary news. They explain it for you like you're a damn idiot or a little kid. Well, this is, you know, ever watch the debates? Then they sit there and they'll have four or five people sitting in a table explaining to you like you're an idiot or a kid, because that's what they want you to think, and tell you what they think. And then they're telling you basically how to vote. Listen to each one of them, because they think you're an idiot. They think you're stupid. They think you don't know nothing. They think you have no self-worthiness. They think you're apathetic. Because that's what they want. They think you're a fucking retard. They're going to just push you around and do whatever they want. And dictate to who you're going to vote for. And then when they vote for, and they sit inside the Congress or wherever, or the presidency, they're going to dictate to you what they're going to end up doing. They may throw a facade in front of you, but if you don't voice and don't engage, those people who are in power, who are functionally in power, they will change. They will have to subjugate to themselves to what you implement, what you do. You know, there was a thing that came out, I don't know, people saw it, I don't want to get into so much of it, but there was a thing that, I remember Hillary Clinton and the thing with Barack Obama about, you know, what facilitated the civil rights movement and what finally made the civil rights fact. And she said functionally exactly how it happened historically, how, you know, there was a lot of people, particularly with Martin Luther King making his movements, engaging but with him as a major voice in the civil rights movement. And there was functionally all the people. But that was an engagement of the people, which is us, pushing the powers that be, which ultimately was, that time, Johnson, President Johnson, and some congressmen and senators to push through the Civil Rights Act. Think about it. That was the guy who escalated and pushed us through the Vietnam War. Yet, out of pressure and out of pride and out of the voice of the people, pushed us, pushed the system to change the civil rights situation and create civil rights. Even Nixon, he was under pressure because of the massive breaking down. People were so upset over the Vietnam War that he himself eventually, even at the term of what finally did, in his term, pulled us out. Even with his Carter bombing of Cambodia, he finally said, okay, I'm out of here. Why is Bush able to do what he's able to do right now? I don't see anybody really protesting. Do you? I don't see anybody saying anything. We have a president who actually broke over 300 laws, not rules, laws, who is actually a criminal, and no one says anything. Apathy. So what can we do about it? Even the Democrats are apathy. What can we do? We can't, not enough time, or, you know, there's always an excuse. Oh, we can't stop the war? They're coming up with an excuse. Apathy. It's not just a disease of the soul of people, average people. It's also a disease that runs all the way through up to whatever the people you call as powers that be. Because they will reciprocate on what your voice is. Do you think a Hillary or a Barack or Edwards, or on the other side, a Huckabee or whatever, Thompson or McCain, do you hear now they're all talking change? Change, because people want change. They know that. They're getting that. They're getting that from you. Everyone who's voicing, feeling, there's that political change. But the next step, what is that change? I remember hearing at work somebody saying another ignorant statement. This shows you what happens in the meeting. This is from somebody who I know, who I work, who happened to go to Reno, University of Nevada, Reno. And they're saying, like, what change are the Democrats are saying? They don't even say what they're changing. All they say is change. I go, oh my God. Are you retarded or something, man? They're talking about changing our health care, wanting to change the economics, wanting to change our system. But mainly they're talking about economics, changing the leadership around the world, changing the situation in Iraq, changing the situation of our energy. And I'm going, here's a person who went to college. I mean, maybe they'll show the specific change. That would I would say, hey, yep, that's true. They haven't shown the real, you know, there's some facade of changes. And I've heard the most clear cut is actually from Hillary Clinton saying the specifics how she would make a change. Barack makes some rhetorical ways he would make a change. You know, even Edwards says how he would make his change. Republicans talk change, but they're really not saying anything about change, not one of them. You know, they just use the word change because they don't distance themselves from Bush. But that is coming from where? That's coming from the people. But again, here again, I show, like, people who don't engage and don't learn and just make comments because they're not aware, that diminishes what the situation is. Read up. Watch the news. I don't say 24/7. Find out. Investigate. I don't say you don't have to be a political junkie, like, you know, blogger or something. That's up to, you know, you have your life. You don't have, I know you have kids to raise and things, but those kids that you're raising are affected by your decisions politically. And if you don't believe me, next time you go get some gas, go tell me about it. next time you go and have to find out you got a copay to fit for your health for your kids, or you don't even have health insurance, or the health insurance, you have to wait for their permission for some procedure. Think about it. That is from your political decision. That is affecting you personally. And I'm talking the material. I'm not even, like, again, I'm not even getting into, on that level, the spiritual situation. So apathy is your as a disease. It is very much the one of the worst diseases of the spiritual, of the soul. Because to be apathetic, to uncaring, to throw yourself in the bubble, and that's whether you are apathetic and you just want to sit back, smoke your bong, drink your beer, play your Wii, watch your video game, or I'm just going to sit there and meditate and put a bubble around me and sit in some area. I don't want to be a politics, you know, because it's, they'll build the burgs and they're, everybody's in control and there's the triads and they're in control. So I'm apolitical. I don't want to get involved. That's just as bad as I'll just sit around and smoke a bong. That's just as bad. Because what have you done is exactly what they want you to do, man. They want you to say, hey, you don't think there's a reason why the Bilderbergs and the Triads and those people, I don't know if you can always check that stuff out, but why there's certain organizations really give out information? They're not stupid. They give it out purposely to make you think we're getting control of the whole world, and we're in control because you can't do nothing about it. You're just a nothing but a little peon. Because they want you to think that. They want to knock down your self-worthiness, your self-esteem. Again, be apathetic. And what's the cure of apathy? A quick shot of self-worth, a quick shot of self-love, a quick shot of self-esteem, and you're cured, man. You stand up and you say, hell no, I ain't going to take it no more, just like in the movie. When you have thousands of people walking down the street and protesting, hell no, get our soldiers, get them out of Iraq. They don't need to die for some BS war or some civil war that people are fighting amongst themselves. That's having self-worth. Standing up and say, hey, we want to change our healthcare system. Where you don't have to worry about losing your house and you're filing bankruptcy because you had a catastrophe medically. That should not happen with the billions of dollars. And our teachers, who are paid like $30,000, $40,000, the very teachers that teach our kids, who educate them, we look at them as less. We look at our education as less. But like, I'm trying to remember which president said it. Now I don't remember. But one of our first presidents, I'm sorry, had since said, without an educated populace, there is no democracy. If you do not educate people, and people don't become educated in knowing what's up, you really don't have a democracy. And think about that, too. Why do you think they don't, the law that they created, No Child Left Behind Act, they didn't put any money behind it, purposely, because they want to leave the kids behind. Look how bad our education is here in the United States. Do you think that's by accident? They want people to be stupid. They want people to think they're uneducated. They want people to think, okay, and they, you know, I mean, when you have a population in the United States that, I forget the percentage, but it was like 40-50%, I forget, it was really high, that still thinks that man came from Adam and Eve, distance themselves from understanding and believing in evolutionary theory. Or evolution. I mean, God. I mean, we're all of DNA. Hello. Isn't that evolution? When people want to believe that the world is flat in the United States, we have a problem. Because people are uneducated. They will even put out information, or you say things over and over outside through the mass media, and it's the old Nazi trick. Goebbels showed it. The more you say the lie over and over again, the more the people believe it's the truth. It's an old trick. And they do it. They will say things over and over and over again to make you think you're smaller, to make you think you are nothing. Like I said, find out. Look behind the game, what's really going on. You know, why they're delegating this information. And you don't give up just because those are the candidates placed out there. Still vote. Still engage. Still get out there. Even send emails. Even tell your friends. Even people. Get them out there in the streets. Organize. And whether you agree with it or not. You know, I have my reasons of what I think of the situation with illegal immigration. It's sort of funny they call it undocumented immigrants. That's like, if I don't have my driver license, do I tell the officer, hello, I'm just an undocumented driver? But anyway, they came out. There are a lot of illegal immigrants, and people came out and voiced their opinion. You know what? I got to hand it to them. All those demonstrations showed how they are showing their self-worthiness, going, hey, we're people too. And if you didn't agree to them or agree with the situation or what the situation is, you know what? I got to commend those people for doing that. And if every group, all the people did that regarding our energy, our health care, we wouldn't have the situations we are having right now. Can you imagine if we have a flood of people just marched down the street, we want to change our health care, a universal health care system, so the doctors make the decisions, not some bureaucrat sitting in an administrative table, see how much money we can make by disclaiming it. Healthcare should be a right, not a privilege. They can set up a system here in the United States that everybody has healthcare with zero copays. So when you're, God forbid, at a table and you're being operated, hey, you know the doctor, all he cares about is fixing you up, not worried about the cost. And we don't have that situation where we have drug companies walking. You go in the, it's like a joke. When I go to the doctor's office, it's like watching a damn convention. I mean, with all the little salesmen with their little bags of samples, and they're walking to the doctor's office. Like going to a convention here in Vegas. Wouldn't have any of that. Because the doctor would implement the correct drugs, ones that have been tested, not just because a kickback here or there, because they would not have the incentive. If they had an incentive that they were paid to make you healthy, like they do in some countries, hell, got a bonus because guess what? This person here had cholesterol has dropped, or his health is improving. Can you imagine if medical facilities were encouraged to actually prevent disease, and they were given a bonus for it, an incentive? So that's what I'm talking about. All these things, it all comes back to politics. Politics is spiritual. And to be apathetic, again, is both ignorant and, frankly, I hate to use the word like Carlos Mencia, retarded. Duh. Duh-duh-duh. Because if you don't engage and you don't say and don't believe and don't and do what you... God has given your soul the freedom of choosing, the freedom to engage and choose, then you're diminishing your own self and those around you, including your kids and so on. It's your responsibility to engage. It's your responsibility to voice your opinion. It is your responsibility to investigate. It is your responsibility to vote. It is your responsibility to stand up and not be afraid, because there's nothing to be afraid of. They can't do anything. The worst, yeah, they're going to kill you. Your soul does not disappear. If people in masses stood up to people, how many armies do you think they can how many policemen, how many bullets could they stop up? Millions of people. How can 10% army control 300 million people? All right? And I'm talking mob riots. I'm not engaging saying, hey, have a civil war. But if people had in civil disobedience said, hell no, we're not going to take it no more, if they don't get what they're what's supposed to be engaged as far as politically, they have their God-given right to do that. And you read the Declaration of Independence, because even Jefferson had placed that inside our Declaration of Independence, as saying that if our government, even inside our Constitution, it also stipulates that if this government does not reciprocate what the people have demanded, therefore the people have the right to diminish this government in every and all capacities. It's in the law. And why was that put in there? For your fundamental right. That was the Masonic thing, but that's the true, the real Masons, not the bullshit people talk about Illuminatis. But that's the Mason, which I've talked for in past shows. So again, it all comes about your apathy. It all comes about with your being, you don't care. It all comes down to, I don't believe in it. It all comes down to, what am I going to do? You have to stand up. So like tomorrow, yep, I'm getting up, I'm going to the caucus. It's on a Saturday, which is a whole other thing. I don't understand why in our country they should make it a national holiday whenever there's elections. So that people should just go, don't have to worry about work, you go and vote, because it's your right. That should be, I don't understand that. They should have, you know, the Tuesdays that they have the national elections. Whenever they have elections, they should have, those should be holidays. And they should facilitate for people getting to and from their polling places to vote. Because that's their right. And it's your right. And like I said, if you don't vote, you don't matter. If you don't voice your opinion, you don't matter either. If you don't go and learn, you don't matter. If you don't go and read, you don't matter. If you don't look up what's really going on, you don't matter. And that's what they don't. They want you to don't care because they think you don't matter. Apathy. What am I going to do? I'm just don't want to get involved. That's bullshit. I don't want to get involved with the politics. I'm spiritual. I'm apolitical. When I heard that, I was like, oh my God. I heard that from somebody who called themselves spiritual. I went, holy God almighty. I'm apolitical, without politics. So then you're a-spiritual. You're a-nothing. A. A-love, a-emotional, a-human being, a-soul. God, they've done a job on you. Because that's what they want. Think about it. They want people to have less self-esteem, one way or the other, whether they're utilizing religion to tell them what to believe in, or whether to believe on some image of God who they said Son of God or some other God, or who to believe in their Torah or their Bible or their Mormon book or their Quran. They want people to be less. Down, so they can tell them what to do, and they got they're playing the game. You know, they say they're just like sitting on the table and dictating to everybody else, and they sit back and have all the money and do what they want and We're all a bunch of little dumb little pawns. But we don't have to be pawns, because that's what God gave us our right not to be pawns. That's what gave us choice. We have the choice to be having our self-worth. We have the choice to demand things that are reciprocated of our self-worthiness, our self-love. It's not just all love, it's all lovey-dovey, kumbaya. There are actually, you can be lovey-dovey all around every people, but there's actually people who don't, are walking on the dark side, who want to diminish your self-worth, to make you apathetic, to make you feel like you have no control. So again, you don't vote, you don't matter. I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm going to go vote. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue talking about politics and religion and spirituality. Talk to extraterrestrials. Because they're all working to get, it's all in the same. And by the way, if you can, check out my, in fact, my first book, When the Angels Have Risen, goes into all that stuff about standing up. Somebody asked me, why'd you write that? Well, basically to give people a sense of self-worth, self-esteem. So check out my book, When the Angels Have Risen, if you like. And now, of course, I have my new book, The Heretic, which you can always check out at andrewtheheretic.com. Of course, they're intertwined and they're available everywhere. God, I just did my own little plug. Feel silly that, but that's not really trying to do a plug. I was just trying to tell you, I always implement things within my what I write to get down to the nitty-gritty of self-worthiness and self-esteem. Because I think that's fundamentally the backbone, one of the backbones of spirituality, besides integrity, which is sort of a gray area, which also affects your self-worthiness. But again, on this Today Show, it's all about apathy, that disease of the soul, which can be taken care of with one simple thing. Vote. One simple thing. Voice your opinion. One simple thing. Get engaged in the political realm. Engage in politics. Learn. Read. Study. Educate yourself. Pick up the book. Abraham Lincoln never went to college, and he learned on his own. So even if you never went to a college, you can learn. So like I said, you don't vote, you don't matter. And to me, I think you all matter. I think all our souls matter. I think every element on this earth matters. That's why I engage in politics. That's why I say F you to apathy, F you to apolitics, F you to, oh, I can't do it. I don't want to get involved. And with that, I wish you all the best. God bless you all. And thank you for listening. And thank you for listening to my past shows. And if you ever have any questions, please feel free to contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com. Or if you have MySpace, Andrew Fetter. Also, I still have a PDF. A couple of people have been asking me requests of the PDF or the chant for Kabbalah. If you have any questions, please do contact me. I do answer every one of you. So I want to thank you again, and God bless you, and I will close, and you can listen to The Devil's Suitcase from my friends, the Masonic Temple from Down Under at my friends are from Australia. And bye. God bless you all. Thank you.